The message I was given tonight is coming out of the book of Mark. Fifth chapter of the book of Mark. We'll be reading verses 25 through 34. Mark 5, 25 through 34. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that was done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Let us pray. Father God, as we come before you tonight and present this message, I pray that it'll go out and accomplish that which you would have to be done. I know that I am just your instrument here, and I pray that you will use me to further your kingdom, to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, and to use this message to do and accomplish what you need to be done in each life here tonight. Bless the words and the intent. May all things be done to glorify and uplift Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we do ask. Amen. It's a story that I heard once, read once about a bricklayer. And he got hurt on the job. And I'm just going to share briefly to begin with his letter to his employer about his accident. He said, "I arrived at the job after the storm, checked the building out, and saw that the top needed repairs. I rigged a hoist and a boom, attached the rope to a barrel, and pulled the bricks to the top and secured the rope at the bottom. After repairing the building, I went back and filled the barrel with leftover bricks. I went down and released the rope to lower the bricks, but the barrel was heavier than I and jerked me up off the ground. I decided to hang on. Halfway up, I met the barrel coming down and received a blow to my shoulder. I hung on and went to the top, where I hit my head on the boom and caught my fingers in the pulley. In the meantime, the barrel hit the ground and burst open, throwing bricks all over. This made the barrel lighter than I, and I started down at high speed. Halfway down, I met what was left of the barrel and received a blow to my chins. I continued down and fell on the bricks, receiving cuts and bruises. At this time, I must have lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope, and the barrel came down and struck me on the head. I respectfully request some sick time off." We all have various problems and issues, if you will, in our lives. And it's how we handle them. You know, what are we going to do? And what is really important, you know, in these things? Well, maybe just taking a look at this woman and what she happened in her life will help us. First of all, I want to look at her sickness. Verses 25 and 26 says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." See, her issue here was an issue of blood. She had a problem. Most of the commentaries that I've read on this all said that it had to do with the feminine hygiene type of thing. And for it to have gone on for 12 years, I'm sure you ladies will admit that that would be a very, very difficult thing to have happen. Well, this, according to the Bible, if you look back in Leviticus chapter 15, and I'll read it for you here, chapter 15, verse 25 says, "If a woman had an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanliness shall be the days of her separation, she shall be unclean." See, this issue of blood made her unclean. Nobody wants to be around her. Nobody could touch her. And that's kind of like our relationship with God and sin. Sin makes us unclean before God. And we're separated from God. We're unclean to Him. He can't reach out and have that fellowship that we were made to have with Him. And these are the things that, that's part of man's problem, the source of all of our problems, really, is our broken relationship with God. She knew that she needed some help. She didn't know. She had tried all these physicians, and as it said there, she never got any better. She kind of brings it to a second point, which is the fact that it cost her a lot. She had spent all, in the other Gospels, in Luke and Matthew, they carry the same story. And they talk about how that she spent everything that she had to try to get healing from this. Let me share some of the things that were common practices for trying to help heal of this situation, according to this Rabbi Jakayan. He says, "Take a gum, Alexandria, of alum and of crocus hortensis, a weight of azuzi each. Let them be bruised together and given in wine to the woman that hath an issue of blood. But if this fail, take of Persian onions 9 logs, boil them in wine, give them to her to drink, and say, arise from thy flux. But should this fail, set her in a place where 2 roads meet, and let her hold a cup of wine in her hand, and let somebody come behind and affright her, and say, arise from thy flux. But should this do of no good, take a handful of cumin, a handful of crocus, and a handful of feyut Greek, and let these be boiled and given her to drink, and say, arise from thy flux. But should this also fail, dig 7 ditches and burn in them some cuttings of vines not yet circumcised," that's vines that are less than 4 years old, "and let her take them in her hand, a cup of wine, and let her be led from each trench and set down over that, and let her be removed from that and set down over another, and in each remove, say unto her, arise from thy flux." And that's just a few of the examples of what they were. And it sounded to me a lot like some of the practices of the ancient medicine men of the American Indians in that. They would try anything, but they didn't know what they were really doing. And sometimes that's the way we are in our walk with God. We're kind of stumbling about. People are out there. They're searching. They're wondering what, God's all about and that. And they don't really know, so they'll try anything to try to get a relationship with God. Some of the other denominations that, are not true to the Word of God, or they might try Eastern religions or another cult or something. They're reaching out. They're trying to find something, and they'll spend everything that they have to try to get what we have and we can offer them if we will. So also, sin costs us everything. The only wages that I've ever found in the Bible that tells us we get from sin is the wages of death. So there's not a whole lot of hope there. Another thing about this woman and her sickness was that no one could help. As I said, she was sick for 12 years with this. And anybody who's been sick for any amount of time knows that you become weak and tired easily. And you're just dragging on, trying to make it. Well, that's the way she was. She was just, what else can I do? What else is there? Once again, I'll compare that to sin. That makes us helpless. Yeah. We have this sin nature that we've inherited from our Adam and Eve, our parents. Now, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This one man's sin brought it down to where all of us have this problem now. And the only way we can find help is in the truth of God's Word. Well, second of all, we have her healing. This was an act of faith. In verses 27 and 34, verse 27 says, "And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment." And down in 34, Jesus, and it, he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." See, she heard about Jesus. The greatest thing I probably ever can remember hearing about was whenever I first heard that Jesus was the Son of God and that he cared about me. She might have heard stories about him. She maybe heard some people talking about, you know, he had healed maybe one of the blind men or maybe the lepers. You know, she heard their story about how he healed them. Or maybe she heard some of the people talking about this great teacher that talked about God. And she wanted to find out more. And then all of a sudden the crowd comes in. And she sees that he is the one that's there. She heard about this man. But could he really help her? Now she had a problem that was for 12 years. And this was something that she didn't make known public. You know, lepers and blind people, you kind of noticed that right away. But hers was inside. And she kind of kept it private because she didn't want to beat everybody to say that she's unclean and nobody have anything to do with her. Because deep down inside, we all want fellowship with other human beings. We want and need that. So as she went seeking, she heard about Jesus coming. And then she did something. She decided she'll take the chance. And she saw Jesus coming and she reached out. And in the book of Matthew, it talks about how that she reached for the hem of his garment. I want you to look, if you could, turn in your Bibles to Numbers. Numbers chapter 15, verses 38 and 39. Numbers 15:38-39 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a-whoring." See, Jesus being fulfilled the law. So I am very confident in the statement I'm about to make that he had those blue ribbons in his garment. The hem of his garment had that. And that meant to the Israel people to remember God and remember his commandments. See, they were supposed to be a special people set apart to remember the commandments and to show the people of the world what serving the true God was all about. And they were going to be blessed by that. And people were going to say, hey, you know, they're serving God and they're blessed and we're not serving God and we're not having such a good time. Maybe we ought to follow God. That's the same thing it's supposed to be for us today. We're supposed to be serving God and be blessed, and then the people see that and saying there must be something special about that. We need that. They should want that. But she reached out to that hem, the hem of his garment, in faith, because she knew, if I just touch the hem, this is a man of God. He comes from God. I know it. Maybe she didn't truly understand that he was the Son of God. Maybe she didn't understand all that. Whenever I got saved, I didn't understand all the theology in this book. I barely understood that. But I did know that I was a sinner, that I needed Christ as my Savior. You don't have to know it all. You just have to know him. She reached out for that hem, realizing that her healing could only come from God. She wanted that. She desired that. I can remember whenever I was lost and in sin. Maybe I wasn't, I was 17 years old whenever I got saved. I wasn't, you know, deep into drugs and alcohol, or, you know, I don't have a testimony like that. I was probably considering myself pretty moral and pretty good kid. But I was just as lost as the anybody else, because we are all sinners before we come to Christ. But she knew that that's what she needed. Perhaps some of you have heard about Christ, heard about Jesus. You know, he's brought salvation to many. Maybe you've heard that he's helped some people with healings. You know, he still heals. Maybe you've heard that he's, you know, done some financial miracles for some people, and they just seem like everything's going so good. He's the same for everybody. He's not, you know, someone that says, well, I'm going to bless this one, but not that one. You know, he doesn't do that. It's all in his heart to give to all of us. She reached out to touch him. Have you reached out to touch the King of Heaven? Have you reached out and said, I want that something special that you have for me, Lord? Whether you want me to stay here and serve you all the days of my life, or if you have called me to wherever. I'll tell you, whenever I first got thinking that God was calling me into the ministry, I didn't know exactly where that was going to be. I looked into possibility of being sent to Africa. I said, if that's where you want me, I'll go. And God said, no, that's not where I want you. And then there was a possibility of something going on in another part of the world. And I said, is that where you want me? And God said, no, that's not where I want you. And then he finally came down and we heard about this kind of ministry. And I'd been in the service myself. And I thought, is this what you want me to do? And God said, yes, this is what I want you to do. And even though I'd been looking for his will and been desiring to do his will, whenever it finally hit me, it was a pretty humbling experience. That the God that created the heavens and the earth, that if he needed to, would have called a legion of angels to bring him down off that cross. But he said, no, I'm going to stay up here. He says, I got to work, and I want you to be a part of it. And I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. You know, it's reaching out to heaven. And him, God, see, we have the possibility of reaching up to, but God himself, through the Jesus Christ, is reaching down to us. And he says, come to me, my child. Only that can be of God. And thirdly, I want to look at her testimony. In verses 33, it says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. See, he already knew. He felt the virtue leave his body when she touched the hem of his garment. He already knew that she was healed. But he wanted her to know that he knew. He wants us to know that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. He wants us to not think so or hope so. He wants us to know very clearly and very exactly. Her testimony was one of, Lord, you've made a difference in my life. Now I am no longer unclean. Now I can go in. Women couldn't go into the actual temple, but there was a section in the courtyards that they could go to. Or the synagogue. She could go to the synagogue. Now she could go and serve God and be with her family and friends again and have that fellowship that she so longed for and that missed all those years. God had made a difference. Now I must ask you a question. What is your testimony? Did God make the difference? Yeah. It says in the book of Revelation that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12:11. The blood of the Lamb is what saves us. But we have the power to overcome by saying to others our testimony and sharing. We believe this word. We believe that we are saved. We're going to heaven. But if we seal it up and keep it to ourselves, it does no good. We have to open it up, open up our lives to other people. We have to be willing to share that little bit. And that's not easy. Whenever I was growing up, if you would have told me that I would have been going to stand in front of people and speak, I would have said, there ain't no way. Okay? Whenever I had to give a speech in English class, we were supposed to give a two-minute speech. They put the little timer up there, a little egg timer, you know. And I think I stood there for about 30 seconds, shaking everything every which way, and spoke what I had. 30 seconds, it was done, and I was out of there. It was not within me, but through Christ, I can do all things.
Amen.
I still get nervous, but it's the Spirit of God that's just, I'm just His instrument. You are just His instrument. Let Him use you. He used the men of old. He can use us today. But we got to be willing. We have to step out in faith. So hopefully as we've looked at this passage, and I know I didn't speak very long, but you've looked at this passage, I hope that you saw more than just a woman that was healed of a sickness. I hope you see a little bit deeper meaning. I hope you see that yourselves. See that perhaps, you know, your sickness, whether it's physical, spiritual, whatever, but you see your need in healing. And finally, your testimony to the power of God. You know, He does care for you. He's the one who made all this possible. And He has a big plan for each and every one of us. All I ask is that you'll take the time and consider what He would have you to do. Thank you.
All right, let's stand together this evening. Well, that if you'd make your way up here and Miranda come up to the piano, we're going to have a song of invitation. The wonderful story of the healing of the woman, as Brother Dibler said, it's more than just a historical story of that woman. It's a touch that we all need for God to cleanse us and to heal us. Her disease was inward, it wasn't outward. But she needed healing just as much as anyone did that needed it outwardly. Maybe tonight you need that healing, or you know someone that does. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If God's moved your heart to pray for someone else, you come as we sing. What page do we have? Page number 270 tonight. The altar is always open. If God's spoken to your heart, you come while we sing. Page 270.